Welcome to chat. Install Flash. Alright. Got my phone plugged in. So that's just bullshit. It was at 6% when I plugged it in. Then I started the car and it started charging, and now it says 38%. I'm starting to think that I've got the type of phone battery that says, hey, there's a new iPhone coming out soon. Okay. I just tried to turn on the blinker and it was already on, so it's been that kind of week, I guess. How responsive is the Vectrex controller? Not very. The thing is from 82, you know, the device itself is old, so I don't know if it was more responsive when it was fresh, but the stick is not, the stick, despite like moving in an analog-like fashion, is not actually an analog stick, so there's a lot of wasted movement on that thing, and the buttons don't feel especially responsive. So it's, it's responsive enough, I guess, for those games, sort of, and all that, but it's the first time I fooled around with an actual Vectrex. For, like, a good length of time, yeah, I played, like, one or two games on one before, but this is the most I've actually, like, fiddled with one, and it's cool. Does Minefield have an overlay? Yes, Minefield does have, is it just called Minefield? Mindstorm. Does have an overlay. I thought about bringing it all home and cleaning it there, but I think I'm going to be on vacation all next week, so I figured I would just leave it there. And I will fiddle with it when I'm back. I'll bring in some rubbing alcohol and that sort of stuff, and clean the cartridges, clean the ports, dust it. It's got just some dust caked on it. You know, it's an old system. Dude who sent it in just said he just had it, and it was just kind of taking up space, and wasn't really planning on doing anything with it, and asked if I would be interested in giving it a home. I said, sure, thank you, absolutely, thanks, that's cool. And yeah, right, yes, that IGN podcast I did yesterday is up now today. That was fun to do, talking, all that Nintendo stuff. There's a video of that, I think, that is not up yet. I'm not sure. You guys got No Man's Sky yet? No, we didn't want to pay $1,300 for some, like, hijacked copy of the game, so no. The video is up. Good. Chance of an appearance on Brian Altano's side podcast, The Comedy Button. I certainly would not be opposed to it. I certainly would not want to impose or anything like that. But yeah, if they were looking for guest type stuff, I would absolutely do something like that. Is IGN pretty different without Greg Miller? He's the guy always associated with them. I mean, no, not really. I mean, don't take that the wrong way. I think Greg does really good stuff, but, like, that site's not necessarily super personality-driven. I suspect that a lot of its traffic comes in from people that are searching game names on Google, you know? That sort of stuff, so I'm sure that there's like a core audience, I'm sure, that knows every single person there and knows their names and knows when people leave and all that sort of stuff. But that site is so large that I bet that a lot of the people going to that website don't really know the names of anyone there. When I was like at GameSpot, that's how we felt a lot of the time. There was just like, you know, this huge, huge audience, but probably 95% of them didn't give a fuck about any of the people that actually worked there. Why is this woman waving? Oh, she's okay. Like, you're not waving at me, you're waving at a taxi. Okay. You still look crazy, but that's just how people look when they're trying to flag down cabs. I get it. My car had a Tesla-like autopilot feature. Would you use it to commute? Yeah, totally. I was just saying yesterday, in this very car, that I would absolutely love to not have to actually fucking drive, but still have the freedom to kind of come and go as I please, and you know, all that, and go places in a timely fashion, and that sort of stuff. The public transportation options that I have are pretty limited with where I live. If I lived in any other direction out of San Francisco than north, then I could take BART. There are trains. It's like stuff. But none of that runs over the Golden Gate Bridge. So I would have to take a boat. I would have to drive. Basically, I would have to drive halfway here and then, like, stop and get on a boat for, like, an hour. And then get let off somewhere and have to walk. And all of that would probably cost me more money to do. And I would be limited to leaving on the hour to get the boat out of town. And, like, it just doesn't work. So I'm kind of screwed by the commute stuff. So yeah, I mean, if I could fucking push a button and this car would just take me home and I could put the seat back, like if it was, you know, good enough and tested enough and I could just like sit here and actually look at that chat instead of driving a car, or, you know, stare at my laptop or play Rhythm Heaven or, you know, watch a movie. I don't know. Like, yeah, I would love to do that. I cannot wait for that to happen on a wide scale and be tested and be safe and, you know, all that sort of stuff. No one at work I can carpool with. No, I don't know anyone that lives up north that is on the same schedule that I am. That's kind of the other thing with us is that we kind of... Well, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm there until I'm done, you know? And a lot of the times that means I'm there until 7 or something, 6:45, stuff like that. But I also show up at like 10 instead of, you know, it's not like a 9-to-5 thing, right? So, I think the schedule makes sense for a lot of people. You know, that's the sort of thing that, depending on what type of business you're running or, you know, the type of people you have working for you or whatever, you probably, sometimes you need that level of order of, we need everyone here from this time to this time. And, you know, for logistical purposes and of filming stuff, like, we're loosely like that, but... but, you know, at this point, like, we're a team of people that have, like, proven that we're dependable to each other and that sort of stuff, so... So we don't have to live that type of life, I guess. Plus, with where I'm at, if I had to be in at 9 every morning, my commute time would probably double... it would probably be like a 2-hour drive every day just because driving into San Francisco during the heat, like the actual hottest commute times fucking sucks. So that's just, a waste of time. Show up after a 2-hour drive just fucking indignant and mad at the world and all that sort of stuff. That's, you know, that's no way to work with what we do. It just doesn't make sense, so. Prius, you're just going to pull out in front of me? That's how you're going to do this? Cool. Am I the first or last person to arrive? Drew usually gets in pretty early. Dan, I guess, gets in early, but he would go to the gym and stuff like that. So I guess his schedule used to be that he would show up and then go to the gym. And then he would come back to the office, probably usually after I had already arrived. And then I'm usually the last one out. Bus damn near ran me off the road. Thanks, bus. Ever get any more into Starbound? Not since the weekend. I played probably 15, 20 hours of it over the weekend. I like it, but I worry that there might... Well, I feel like I'm starting to see the formula or something. Or like I've been to multiple planets where you see the exact same structure and the chests are in the same place and the enemies are in the same place and all that sort of stuff. And that kind of sucks. Kind of ruins that sense of discovery when you see it and you're like, okay, well, there's two chests upstairs, there's two here. There's going to be two guys I need to kill here. And then we go downstairs off to this side and get this chest, and then go back down to the other side and get this chest. Odds of No Man's Sky being a huge letdown. I think that depends on what you think that game's going to be. I think there's a selection of people that have built that game up to be something that it most definitely is not. And I think those people will... be shocked by what that game is. That game seems like a survival game, but with some space stuff and some exploration. And I bet on that level it'll probably be pretty fucking cool. But so many people have built that thing up into something bigger than that, and I just don't know, unless they're familiar with that genre and are okay to accept that type of thing, then I bet they're going to have a hard time with it. But it looks cool. I hope it's fucking neat. I hope their procedural generation stuff is like genuine and cool and leads to a lot of, like, you want stories, like, right? When it comes to games like that, you want stories that you can tell to other people. And, you know, all of that's, all of that is contingent on, like, hey, what sort of stuff are you going to find from planet to planet? Like, what's the exploration really like? How easy is it to get from place to place and all that? And that's, you know, actually, my thing with Starbound is that sometimes it feels like it's just a little too much of a hassle to fly somewhere else. Like, the act of going and getting fuel in that game is not fun. Like, running away from the butthole sausage ghost on moons as you dig out fuel isn't necessarily difficult. It's just kind of time-consuming. And, I know that there's some kind of ship upgrade system in place, so maybe you eventually upgrade the ship to the point where that's not something you have to do as much as I do it now. I haven't really been able to upgrade the ship yet. I don't know what you need to do to start doing that. But, yeah, you know? Like, I just want to fucking go places and see stuff. And, like, that process of fly somewhere else, then, like, the flight time menu, like, the process of flying somewhere else, like, it just takes a little too long. Then you get there, and you gotta beam down, and that takes a little too long, and then you get there, and you're like, oh, there's nothing here, or, hey, it's that same base that was on the fourth planet back that I went to. I think that's my problem with Starbound so far. I love the idea, and there are a lot of things about it. As someone who really likes Terraria, there's a lot of things about Starbound that I think are really smart and really neat, but I'm just not sure yet. And yeah, I think No Man's Sky hinges on a lot of things. Like, how different are the planets? How random, or you know, what? How many different types of installations and things will you find? Will the design of them look different and be different? Will the alien species truly feel alien? Like, you know, or be like, hey, there are four races and they're strewn about, and oh, this is one of these planets. Oh, this is one of these planets. I would rather see, and you know, Spore's a bad example because that game didn't necessarily light the fucking world on fire, but. Something about the idea of being able to generate a bunch of different creatures and have them all look different, implying that, you know, no two worlds are going to be alike, which is statistically impossible, I suppose. But, you know what I mean? Like, I want those types of experiences, but also all of it needs to be good. Like, you can't have infinite randomness without having a bunch of bad shit. So it has to be this curated randomness that makes sure that players are, like, seeing enough cool shit along the way. I think that's a really hard thing to do. I think a lot of procedural games, and a lot of survival games, just don't do a good job with that stuff. And I think there are a lot of people that think that game is, like, proper multiplayer, you know? I think that, like, the stuff around No Man's Sky, once you get removed from a certain ring of information, I think you have a lot of people that have heard of that game, have had someone tell them a bunch of fantastical things about it, and it's kind of not gonna be that. But I guess I don't necessarily 100% know what that game is either. I should look into Noctis. I've been thinking about that game off and on with all this other stuff that's been going on. Like, oh, right, there's that thing, too. I want that game to be great, and I am willing to accept what it I'm willing to accept it for what I'm pretty sure it is, because I've played those style of games before and enjoyed the shit out of them. But I bet there's going to be a bunch of people that think that game is something else, and I feel like that problem didn't get solved. The messaging issue of what is No Man's Sky, I think, didn't get solved. Because I feel like I'm piecing things together in a way of like, okay, here's what I know about games, and here's what I know about how they are made, and the size of your team, and what you have said about the game, and what you have been deliberately kind of not saying too much of. And I'm kind of piecing it together from that and then trying to infer things that way. And I think I have a pretty good handle on it, you know, talking to people that have played it here and there and stuff like that. But it's been the strongest first half of a year for games. There have been some pretty powerful releases in 2016. It's been cool. I just realized today that Deus Ex is out in like a month, or less than a month now, and got kind of excited about that. They brought that build by. I hope that the final version is a little tighter than that one. Like, having that, like, cut to black before the takedown animation plays out seems not great. But seeing that game, when they brought it by, and then when I saw it a little bit before E3, was, like, a great reminder of, like, man, I really fucking liked that last Deus Ex game. That was, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I had a really good time playing it. And I am looking forward to that. That looks fun. That looks like a good game. you know, Titanfall 2's out this year. Yeah, it's... It's going to be... It's a cool year for games. I hope, like, stuff like Forza Horizon 3 is good. Because I liked 1 and didn't necessarily like 2 that much. Or as much. I hope 3 kind of gets it back on track. Am I going to go back and finish the challenge in The Witness? No. I'm so far away from The Witness now that to get back in puzzle-solving shape, enough shape to solve that challenge, I would probably need to play through the entire game again and get good at all the puzzles again and all that sort of stuff. You know, and we'll still have to deal with all the new hardware stuff this year, too. I mean, that Xbox is out next week. We got it in today. You know, Neo is probably still out this year, I think. I guess that's not necessarily set in stone or guaranteed or anything like that, but I suspect that thing will come out this year. And then at some point this calendar year, we'll have to start the build for the NX, right? I mean, they'll have to talk about it one of these days. Now that everyone else is starting to talk about it for them. Yeah, you know, VR continues to happen. Like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, you still got people that are like, oh, I'm not into this, I'm not into that. But, like, you know, we're at a point now where there's just so much happening that it does seem like there's something for everyone. I think a lot of the people that are shitting on VR right now will figure it out. They'll get their time with it and be able to at least acknowledge that it's pretty rad, even if they might not like all the software. That's the thing that gets me. You know, I think there are a lot of bad VR games. I think there are a lot of low experiences, poor experiences built in VR right now. But that stuff's getting better. But I, you know, the people that are just out there, like, just absolutely shitting on it, they don't have the data to make that call. They don't have the raw data to, anyway. It's that stuff is undeniably awesome. Whether you think it's like a viable commercial product for average consumers, and whether you think it will play the types of games you like to play, that's all totally valid. And I totally understand. But the technology itself is damn near undeniable. They're doing it. They're making VR work. You know, everyone at different scales and different levels, and, you know, sitting, standing, room scale, whatever you want, you know, like everyone's got their own slightly different approach. I think Sony getting in will be real big for VR in general, because I think it'll give people another headset that is a little more reasonably priced. People might be a little more likely to try that thing than they would a Vive, because the Vive is so fucking expensive and needs so much floor space and all this other stuff. Yeah, I mean, you have to demo it before you buy it. I think that's, yeah, that's absolutely key. Especially if you maybe have some vision stuff going on that you're a little unsure about, then yeah, I think, you know, this stuff needs to be out there more readily available for people to test out for themselves at retail and all that sort of stuff. Like, that stuff needs to happen. I think it will. I think Sony's going to get out there in a pretty big way. With their stuff. Oculus, really, yeah, the touch controllers are they're good. They're really good. I think I might like the touch controllers more than the Vive wands. Just in terms of the buttons, like what you do with them. The presence of an analog stick, I think, is cool for the type of radial menus and stuff like that that games have, and some of that other stuff has been pretty neat. Even Gear VR is cool from what I can tell. I haven't really used much of that, but kind of hearing what the differences in the experience are, I can kind of picture it going, okay, yeah, that's still up there. That's still right there where you need to be. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, that's the future of games and everything's going to be this and we're all going to be doing, you know, like that's... No, I mean, that's not reasonable for a lot of different genres that are still very popular in games. You know, VR is not right for most types of existing games, I would say. Dude in his Hawaiian shirt and shorts on the Golden Gate Bridge is fucking bummed out. It is windy and foggy and fucked up out here. Yeah, it's a good year for games. I don't know that anyone necessarily anticipated that at the beginning of the year. At least not in this way. Thank you. Focus. But yeah, I don't know. I feel good about the state of video games. It's always going to change. I think that's the thing that you have a lot of people that get a little freaked out. And they reject change. I mean, everyone is afraid of change, right? So VR kind of triggers that a little bit. I think, like, phone games still triggers that in some people, which I thought we were past that, but some people are still pretty stubbornly clinging to that sort of mentality, which, again, I'm not saying, like, you will love the phone games, but, like, they're viable, they're doing it, they're making things exclusively for those platforms that are well built for those platforms, and it's understandable why some people might enjoy playing them, so, like, having this approach of just like, they're not real games. Like, it's like, fuck, what? Fuck off. Come on. What? It's 2016. We're past that. Yeah, I don't know. Some people are still right there with that stuff. So the VR stuff feels a lot like that to me in some cases. Where you got people who haven't really tried it that are just like, it's Kinect all over again. It's Kinect and the Wii and all that other stuff. Just a fucking fat. It's like, well, you can see bits and pieces of those things in what VR is and in the games that are being designed for it, but you're kind of missing the point. But I think, you know, whatever. The real situation is the business change. You know, the changes in business of selling games and how they get sold. And, you know, it's like, God, people used to just complain about the existence of DLC at all. Remember that? We are so far past that now. But now, you know, it's like, there are still concerns around additional content and microtransactions and that sort of stuff, even as they become, like, the way of things. I think it's totally valid to be concerned about some of that stuff, because I think some companies are doing it in a really fucking awful way. I like DLC for games that seem like they've earned it, which is maybe a weird concept considering all DLC gets planned out before a game is shipped. But it's why I can look at something like even Fallout 4, a game I certainly did not love. It's very large, it's very expansive, you know, like the game gives you $60 worth of value and then some. In its content, and it's just the scope of it. I don't think there's any argument there. So when they say, like, hey, we're going to put out a season pass and sell some add-on stuff, I'm like, yeah, sure, if people want more of it, that's totally valid. If people love that game and want to pay more into it, that's totally okay. But I still, like, bristle at, like, the way Street Fighter V is doing it. Because that's the feeling of, like, man, this game feels like it launched short. Like it was missing stuff. And yeah, some stuff got added in and for free and all that, but it just... like, it doesn't feel like they've earned the goodwill to sell all those costumes, I guess. And I'm sure with, you know, that's always going to be a personal preference. There's some people that are having a great time with that game, they would certainly not look at the fight money to real money relationship and not be completely disgusted the same way maybe I was. That, the Street Fighter V stuff makes a lot more sense when that game's $30 instead of $60. I guess, I would say. For me. Then you got stuff like Evolve. Though that's, you know, obviously Evolve kind of back in the news lately with all its free-to-play stuff. They probably should have done that a lot sooner. But I wonder... how that'll go. Obviously, the early numbers are up, because of course they would be. You've spent hundreds on Rocksmith DLC. I think that makes total sense. I mean, it's new songs for a game. Like, the business behind that seems very clear. Like, okay, these are different songs. Different people get paid for these songs, so of course they're going to charge money for them. And you want additional songs for that. You know, like, that makes total sense. Zero issues with that type of DLC. But Evolve at launch, that was like, hey, here's this, like, unproven game concept that, like, me personally playing in that beta was enough to tell me that I certainly wasn't going to stick to that thing very long. And then seeing them just lining up the additional content for you to buy out of the gate, like it was going to be some big hit, like they were sitting on the next Dota and all this other stuff, like, fucking ease back, like, put the DLC out a few months later. Like, just don't tip your hand on the plans. Make all the shit, but just fucking just hold off a little bit, so you don't look so desperate. I think they would do a lot better in that case. I think I like the way Microsoft set up Killer Instinct to just be free out of the gate and have you buy characters right away. Like, Street Fighter V feels like it's halfway there with that stuff, but they couldn't give up the idea of selling the game for $60 and getting that money up front. They were too scared to do it, you know, or they knew they would get X amount of dollars. Or they probably thought that X amount of dollars was higher, considering they thought they were going to sell 2 million copies of that thing. So instead, with the, like, hey, you can grind out currency and get these characters for free that way, or pay real money, same with the stages and the skins, but most of the skins are real money only, and, you know, like... that game just ended up kind of confusing, and they still don't, like, the store is not always clear until you go deep into an item, if you are going to be able to get it with fight money or real money or both, or, you know, I think they really fucked that shit up, and they didn't need to. I think that that's a case of, like, you look at League of Legends, you look at Dota, you look at Killer Instinct, like, there are enough other games in the marketplace that do similar enough stuff that you would think that Street Fighter would have come out a little smarter. I don't know. Whatever, at some point. I would not be shocked if that game eventually becomes free to play. I hope the NX has good games on it. Seems like that should be a no-brainer, but, you know, like, for me at this point, the Wii U is pretty much destined to just be a Mario Maker machine. I can't think of any one Wii U game I would go back and play. Like, I might get into Tokyo Mirage Sessions at some point here, but... I bet that thing is full of a bunch of Street Pass type shit. Region locked. Yeah, I bet you're right. Well, you know. It doesn't need to be. At least as far as the physical software goes. I mean, they could make it so you can only have one region's content on it at once digitally or something like that, because it's all tied to an account, and you maybe can only have one region's account on there at a time or something like that, like the Vita, I guess. Like, I think everyone always thought that the third parties wanted region lockout. Especially when you had a lot of companies that were localizing Japanese games months after the fact. Those were the ones, like, you know, Capcom. Capcom didn't want you importing all of its PlayStation 1 games. Because then Capcom USA wouldn't sell any games. Of course, then, you know, PlayStation piracy started to happen. You know, they had a much larger problem than just importing on their hands. But, you know, the end result of that is that a lot of localization stuff sped up. They started thinking about foreign versions of their games a lot earlier in the process. They'll name that thing. Nintendo Cross. It's handheld cross console. Does everything. Goes across the universe. Here's Justice to tell you more about the Nintendo Cross. I could see them actually going that way with it, to be honest. I don't have any reason to think that, other than I just think that sounds like an explanation type name that works with their code name and also partially reflects what the device is. I also think if they're unifying, they could just call it the Nintendo. Called it Nintendo Entertainment System 2. Wait. Nintendo Entertainment System U. Huh? Call it New Famicom? No, call it Neo Famicom. Sony's got the Neo stuff locked down, so maybe that wouldn't work. God, I wonder what they'll call that thing. Actually, I guess it probably is. That's one that probably is just as simple as the PS4K, if they're just going to end up marketing it all around 4K TVs or something. And I bet by the time that Microsoft gets to the Scorpio release, they'll just call that the Xbox. They'll do the thing that they probably should have done last time out. and just say, yes, this is the Xbox. This is the current model of the Xbox. You can also get the previous model of the Xbox, also known as the Xbox One S, at a discount. Or, of course, there's the original Xbox One, which is now, we're basically paying you $45 to take it. It won't render anything in 4K, so PS4K doesn't seem like a great name. Yes, you're right. That doesn't matter. It will scale everything to 4K, so they can market it as a 4K machine all day long. What, okay, this is maybe a better name for the NX. What if they just call it, and just picture this on the box. You go out to pick up your NX and just says on the box in bright red letters, Mother 3 in English. And that's just the name of the system. The next great console in the Saints Row franchise. It's called that. What is this, Nintendo's 12th cartridge-based system? No. Way more than that. Like 14th? Let's call it the Nintendo 14. Nintendo Go. Yeah, that actually... Shit. You know what? That name almost makes too much sense. The bet on them finally making a competent online system. Well, you know, DNA is going to build it for them, so, or some piece of it is all that new Nintendo account stuff that they rolled out alongside Miitomo. That is supposed to be your new thing. So, we'll see. It would be nice if they pushed updates to the Wii U and 3DS that let you tie those units to this new Nintendo login, so that, like, if they do a virtual console thing on the NX, that maybe they could just say, hey, you bought all these games on these other platforms and you still own them. That'd be nice. Launching with a much larger library of emulated games would be cool. And if you seeded that by saying, hey, those of you that already bought them still own them, that's the type of feel-good move that probably inspires those sorts of people to buy more of them. Whereas doing the opposite is likely to get people to say, well, I'm never buying one of those ever again. I have not bought a lot of virtual console games over the years because I own a lot of old games, and because of the way their online systems have been, like, I don't feel great about digital purchases on Nintendo platforms a lot of the time. It's not to say I don't do them primarily when if I'm buying games on those platforms. More likely to do that than to go out to a store, but... I do that knowing full well that I'm probably fucking myself in some way. In some unpleasant way, I should say. And I hope they don't do a lot of ports. If you take the chipset stuff that got reported and the idea that maybe that thing's not backwards compatible, if you take that stuff and run with it, then you start to think, well, they need to make another Mario Maker, right? I mean, they can't not. Oh, right? I mean, they need to make a sequel to that anyway. And they need to bring all the existing levels over into the new game. Right? But I hope they don't do a lot of straight ports. I think that would be... I would rather see them do enhanced editions, champion edition type things. Like, if they're going to do Smash Brothers, which, you know, why wouldn't you? I think they need to add a batch of characters to that version of the game. Or, you know, include all the DLC to date, add a couple of characters, and then kick off another round of DLC and some new stages. Like, they, you know, it would be great if they use that as an excuse to kind of kick off another round of things. But just porting Smash over as is, I think, is a missed opportunity. It'll sell fine, but... why not do more? Why not do more and then, hey, maybe make that exclusive to that version of the game? That way you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. Like, you're giving people a great reason to buy that thing again instead of a straight port, which I don't think... well, whatever, I'm sure it would do fucking great. And yeah, doing that IGN podcast about Nintendo stuff made me realize that this is how we get to a proper Pokemon game on a television screen. Fucking finally. I mean, at some point down the line, you know, whatever game they make after the one they're shipping this year. Rhythm Heaven also. I mean, I guess, well, Rhythm Heaven was on the Wii, obviously, but maybe they'll make a proper WarioWare sequel. Does it ever feel weird walking through the IGN office? They have a lot of stuff. They're packed in over there. And every single cubicle I saw was, like, fully decorated with stuff. Action figures and all this other stuff. I don't see a ton of that around our way. Certainly not on our end of things. I guess you see a little bit of it. I mean, we did have the wrestle desk there for a while, but... No, they were, like, the cubicle decoration had been taken very seriously over there, from what I could see. I don't know. I think the NX is the smartest thing they could be doing right now. As long as they get the price right and it feels good and you're not compromising the experience when you're playing it in a dock or vice versa. If they can maintain parity between the two formats and all that sort of stuff. I think that's the right direction for them. All right, I'm home. That's very exciting. And yeah, I am on vacation for a week. So I'll see y'all in a week or so. Have a good one.